Good morning. I've been reading recently from the books of 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, and have been really challenged by the Thessalonian church. I believe they were a very admirable church in that we as a congregation here at Life Fellowship, and also as individuals, there's a lot there for us that we can apply to our lives. And I'd like to look at chapter 1. Thessalonians this morning. You can turn there if you care to. I'm going to be reading the first chapter in a few minutes. But first of all, I'd like to give just a bit of the background on Thessalonica. Thessalonica is located in Greece, and the city still exists today. It's one of the few of the cities that were around back in that time that still exists today. Today it's actually called, and I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing this correctly, but Thessaloniki. The population back in Paul's day was about 200,000. And I did a quick search this morning, and the closest I could find in this general vicinity to 200,000 was Hagerstown, Maryland, as a population back in 2006 of 257,000. Today, Thessalonica is 300,000 people. So it's not a really large city, but back in its day, it was a very busy city, and it was a main thoroughfare back in that day, and it was a port city as well. And because of the main Roman highway running directly through it, as well as having a busy port, the city had a lot of diversity in how people lived their lives, and there was very little, if any, Christian influence prior to Paul coming. It was a sinful place, and it was steeped in idol worship. We don't know exactly how long Paul stayed there. Paul and Silas came as missionaries, and we know just a couple of things. He spoke at least three times that we know of in the synagogue, and he received two or three offerings, missionary offerings, from the other churches. And that he worked as a tent maker while he was there. So it may have been a few weeks. I don't know, but he left, or God left, a profound impact on Thessalonica from Paul and Silas's time there. Paul and Silas didn't stay nearly as long as they had hoped to. The persecution that they faced became so intense that they had to leave. And like I said, we don't know how long or what point that was, but they left in the middle of the night. They snuck them out of town for their own safety. And 1 Thessalonians is actually written back to the church that had just been started. It was a young church. He's writing this letter back to them. It's a letter of encouragement. He's expressing his concern and his love for them. I think he's probably trying to reassure them that I do still care about you guys. I had to leave, but you matter to me. I think Paul also wanted to solidify their foundation. They were a young church. And so as you can expect, and just the fact that they were a church filled with human beings, they had their problems as well. But he wanted to solidify their foundation. There were some things they were a little shaky in. He also wanted to encourage them in the face of all the idol worship to live holy lives, to be set apart for God. And he also wanted to correct some of their weaknesses. There was a group within that young church that was believing that Christ was going to return any day, and they'd actually quit their jobs and were just sitting around waiting for Christ to come back. And Paul was to some of that as well when he wrote these two books. But I'd like to highlight four things about the church at Thessalonica from chapter 1. Let's read the chapter and then we'll pick up from there. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy, To the church of the Thessalonians in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, labor of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God, in the sight of our God and Father. Knowing, beloved brethren, your election by God. For our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and in much assurance, as you know what kind of men we were among you for your sake. And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction, with joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became examples to all in Macedonia and Achaia who believe. For from you the word of the Lord has sounded forth, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith toward God has gone out, so that we do not need to say anything. For they themselves declare concerning us what manner of entry we had to you, and how you turned to God from your idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. The first of the four things that I admire about the church of Thessalonica was that they knew their election by God. They knew who they were in Christ. Sometimes I wonder if we as a Mennonite people, or even as Christians, know as well as we think we do who we are in Christ. In verse 1, it says, to the church of the Thessalonians. Church there means a called out people. They knew what they had been called out from. They were living in the midst of a very perverse society, as we are today. Studies, it appears like there was almost, not an official, but an almost a national religion of idol worship. I don't know if that was actually the case, but it almost appears that way. They were aware that they were a called out people. And Paul was again recognizing that in writing this letter. I'd like to read Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. It says, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Just as he chose us in him, I believe they were aware that God the Father had chosen them before creation, before they were ever born. I believe they were aware as well that God the Son had saved them when he died on the cross. And I believe they were aware as well that God the Holy Spirit saved them at their conversion experience. And that it was at that point that all the pieces fit together and that they became a child of God. I believe they had a grasp on that and who they were in Christ. And it showed in their lives. When people look at us as a congregation or even as individuals in the workplace, does it show in our lives that we know we're a called out people? Do we appear to be different in any way? They knew of their election by God. The second trait that I admire about the Thessalonian church is that they were an exemplary people. And in taken straight from these verses, I see four ways that they were an example. In verse 5, they accepted the gospel. They heard the word. They received it. They didn't just shrug it off. They didn't just harden their consciences. They actually heard it and received it. And they took it a step further, and the second one is they became imitators of Paul and Silas and of God. They chose godly examples. They chose to follow their lead. They didn't just willingly apply themselves to the message, but they also accepted the message bearer. They became imitators of their spiritual leaders, if you want to call them that. The third thing, they suffered for Christ, the latter part of verse 6 there. They received the word in much affliction. I don't think we can totally grasp what much affliction looks like. I think I have it tough sometimes. But in reality, I have it pretty nice. And I think we as a church in America do, as a whole. But they received the word in much affliction. And then they took it a step further, and the fourth thing, they encouraged the other churches in verse 7. News of the church at Thessalonica had spread everywhere. Now keep in mind, this is a young church. They were babes in Christ. And yet they were becoming examples to not only the Christian community, but to the whole world as they knew it then. The third admirable trait that I see of the Church of the Thessalonians is that they were passionate. They were a passionate people. In verse 8, as I just said it had been noised abroad. It was, people knew about them everywhere. I'm not sure the verse. I'm missing the verse here. Here in verse 8, it says, "For from you the word of the Lord has sounded forth." Sounded forth there actually means trumpeted out. They were vocal about what they believed. They were vocal about that new faith that they had just found. They trumpeted it forth. And all that in the face of persecution. Persecution so strong that they had seen their leader leave town in the middle of the night because of that persecution. I don't know about you, but that pretty much humbles me. I don't have that kind of boldness. How about us as a church? How passionate are we about what we believe? What they received, even though they had just received it, they passed it on. And they obviously believed in what they were sharing with others. They knew who they were in Christ. And it showed as they broadcasted that. It carried weight because it came from inside. How about you as an individual? Do you know enough in your heart where you stand with God that you portray that to people in the way you live or even in what you say? Paul says that everywhere he traveled, news of the church at Thessalonica had already reached there before he had. And people were telling him of the results from Thessalonica when he had showed up. They were saying, "We know what happened when you came there." The fourth trait I see there is that they were an alert people. They were expectant. They were not only aware of who they were in Christ and being passionate about it, but they were looking for Christ to return, some of them to a fault, by quitting their jobs and by just sitting and waiting. They were aware of the times and what was going on around them. They weren't just sitting back. In verse 10, It says, and to wait for the Son, for his Son from heaven. The word wait there means to await someone with patience and confidence, expectantly. They knew God was going to come back and they believed it. Sometimes I wonder if we would live our lives any differently if the first thing through our minds every morning when we got up was, I wonder if God's coming back today. And we lived our day in light of the reality that he's going to come back and that we don't know when that is. I believe that is how the Thessalonians, the church in Thessalonica, was living their lives. I think they lived with that thought in the back of their minds. But as I looked at this passage, I think the key to who they were as a church and to their becoming such an example to others is back in verse 3. And it's what Paul praises them for. He praises them for three things. He praises them for their work of faith, their labor of love, and patience of hope. Excuse me. Their work of faith was obvious. They turned from their idols. That was their work of faith. A.W. Tozer puts it this way, every man lives by faith, the non-believer as well as the saint. The one by faith in natural laws and the other by faith in God. The question is, what is our faith in? Their faith was in God and it was obvious. They turned from their idols, not knowing what it was going to bring their way, not knowing what would happen because of it. And their faith, it wasn't just a word, something that sounded nice. Their faith led to works. And faith that doesn't lead to works, if you think about it, really isn't faith at all. Faith requires action. And their faith was active, it was true, and it was living. Their labor of love was that they turned not only from their idol worship, but they began to live and serve the true and living God. It became a part of them. In his book, Mere Christianity, C.S. Lewis wrote, "Do not waste your time bothering whether you love your neighbor. Act as if you did. As soon as we do this, we find one of the great secrets. When you are behaving as if you loved someone, you will presently come to love him." I thought that was pretty profound. If you're struggling to love someone, act as if you do. And continue to act as if you do. And God will give you a love for that person. Faith shows itself by loving. Faith gets put into action through love. Romans chapter 5, verse 5 says that the love of God has been poured out in our hearts. And it was obvious it had been poured out in the lives, in the hearts of the Thessalonian church. Is it obvious of us here at Life Fellowship? Do people feel loved by you, by me? And Paul also praised their patience of hope. They were waiting for Christ's return, living in the awareness that he was going to return. Romans chapter 8, I believe it's verse 25. It says, "But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance or with patience. They were a patient people. There was a few of them that weren't being so patient in quitting their jobs and that type of thing, but Paul was speaking to them about that. But they were waiting patiently and expectantly for Christ's return. And as Christians, we all need to be aware of that and looking for Christ's return. Galatians chapter 5, I'd like to read a few verses there. Chapter 5, verses 5 and 6. I think this puts it pretty plainly. It says, "For we through the Spirit eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness." How? By faith. Verse 6, "For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but faith working through love." They're hoping and patiently waiting for Christ's return. They're having faith that he's coming back. And they're putting that faith into action by their love. Does that describe us? Does that describe the church in general? Notice also at the last part of verse 3 there, they did all three of these things. Their work of faith, their labor of love, and patience of hope was all done in the sight of our God and Father. They were aware of who they were in Christ, and they were aware that God was watching. I don't know about you, but it's easy for me to get caught up in my routine and not to be focusing and have pushed it from my mind that God is watching and not be thinking about, not be looking for ways that I can be putting into action my faith through love. Do we live with the awareness of who we are in Jesus? And does it affect our lives? Like the Thessalonian church, I think every Christian needs to be aware of their election by God. They need to know that they are saved. They need to be an exemplary person. Be an example. What kind of an impact are you having on your circle of contact? Every believer should be passionate, should be sharing the gospel as they were. And every believer as they were should be an expectant person, looking for Christ's return. I wonder this morning how different, or would we look different? Let me say it that way. Would we as a church here look different if we were able to put into practice exactly what Paul is praising the Thessalonian church? They had their issues. They had their problems, as do we. But look at the impact they had on those around them because they allowed God to work in their lives. I'm curious what Paul would have to say to us as a church if he were writing a book to Life Fellowship, or if he were writing a book to Tim or to Loyal or whoever. What would that look like? What would he be praising you for, encouraging you in? What would he be wanting to solidify your foundation in? I want to leave you with the challenge. Personally, are you doing works of faith? For the Thessalonians, that meant turning from idols. Are you doing works of faith in your life? Are you doing labors of love? Are you living your life for Jesus Christ? And do you have a patient hope? Are you patiently looking for Christ to return? Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for the examples that you've given us in Scripture. And thanks too, Father, that they weren't perfect, that they made mistakes just like we do. But Father, I pray that we could apply to our lives the challenges that they've left for us by their lives and the things that they did well. And Father, I pray that we could be able to allow you to impact our lives, and that we'd be willing to do those works of faith, labors of love, and patiently wait for you as we live our lives. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks, Tim, for that message. Our class this morning, New Believers class, we were talking about assurance of salvation. And I think Tim hit on a pretty key thing there. I think if we knew who we were in Christ and the salvation he's brought into our lives, it would change our lives pretty drastically, even in how our assurance of salvation and what he's done in our lives, and instead of the wrestling pieces that we go through sometimes. I want to open it up for a time of sharing. Maybe there's something that stood out to you in the message. We have a couple of guys that want to share some things a little later on, and I'll call on them then, but just want to open it up to you if you have any thoughts or reflections you'd like to share with the group. John.
This relates to labor of love. Very interesting. Late Friday afternoon, we had a visitor. His name is Peter. He is a believer. He is separated from his wife and four children. And his wife is also a believer, and they're working through some of their problems. But his need now is for a place to stay. So my request is, if you know anybody who has a room to rent to a man, if you could do it, check with me. I have his phone number, Peter.
Okay, thanks, John. Anyone else? I know Ben Wenger had something he wanted to share with the group this morning. Do you want to do that now, Ben?
Yeah, this is just to let you all know, tomorrow a week I'll be heading down to Texas for 9 weeks. There's a training program I'm going to be doing down there. Basically, they're focusing on character building, facing your fears, and discipleship training. So yeah, I'm just asking for prayer while I'm down there and as I go through that. Thanks.
Yes, remember Ben as he goes. He spends some time down there. Okay, Herb.
Just to go along with that, with Ben there, you know, it's kind of bittersweet when you see a young guy like that in a youth group leaving, but it also takes a lot of courage to go face your fears, face your where he's gone. I mean, it's not going to be a picnic. And Ben, I just want to encourage you that when you want to give up or Frey, you know, you're thinking, why did I do this for? Just remember, you got a church that's supporting you and that we believe in you. Also, financially, it's a pretty expensive trip. And if anybody the next 2 weeks would want to help Ben in supporting him financially, you can mark it on your offering schedule. And then Claire will give a check to the Wangers then for his support. But it needs to be the next 2 weeks, so it doesn't drag on for 9 weeks. So either next two Sundays, just mark it. And also, he didn't announce it, but he will not have much contact back home. I think he's only allowed to write a few letters, and he will not be able to receive any letters from any girls or any females while he's down there. So I guess if any girls want to write, they got to put it in their dad's name or whatever. But I think also you're allowed to receive letters from other people, right, Ben? Okay. And they can sort it or whatever. But if you don't, you won't be hearing much from Ben the next 9 weeks.
Okay.
Speaking of facing your fears, this weekend we just completed counselor training. And if any of you want to face any of your fears, I encourage you to sign up for next year. We had a good experience most of the time. It was a lot of hard things as well. And I told the group yesterday during the closing ceremony, whatever, when you fill out your application, there's a line on there that asks you why you're going. And for yourself or for others. And I put, 60% for others and 40 for myself. Well, I think God had other plans. He wanted to deal with me first. And I just want to thank God for working in areas of my life. And I want to continue to walk in areas He has showed me. And to use this as a stepping stone in my life. And I want to thank you as a church for prayers and for financial support as well. So thank you.
Thanks, Doug.
I just want to take this privilege. This doesn't have a lot to do with the sermon, although it does have a little bit to do with encouragement. We were talking about our young people this morning as far as quizzing and that kind of thing is concerned, and I think that's great. Last Sunday evening, we were at Millwood Church, when there was a lot of our young people there singing in a chorus. I just think it's really great, children and young people, that you're learning the things you're learning, not only in this chorus, but in school, in other areas, and so on. I just want to take this opportunity to encourage everyone that's working hard to learn more about Jesus. It's the best thing you can do.
A chorus is singing tonight at White Oak Church of the Brethren, 2 at 7 o'clock. So quite a few from our congregation are in that, actually. Anyone else yet? Galen.
This week was a good week for our team. We talked a lot about facing our fears on Thursday night before our Friday playoffs and the quizzing. And we talked a lot about relationships and just how we can face our fears. And there's a lot of pressure in a quiz. And it was pretty neat to see some kids pull through that were really scared and really do well in those quizzes. And the thing about quizzing, that you need confidence. If you're down on yourself, you can't quiz. And our lesson was on assurance this morning too. If you're confident in who you believe in, and you don't get down on yourself, and you're not pulled away by outside influences, and you're confident, it's a lot easier.
Thanks, Galen. Earl.
I want to share an experience that I had yesterday that God used mightily to show me something. I took a short ride in my ultralight plane yesterday, and due to something that was a fault of mine, the engine stopped. And within less than 60 seconds, I was on the ground. And if you were all to witness the scene and the wreckage, it would be obvious to everyone that it was a miracle. And what God is telling me through this I only had a short period where I could influence this plane. And it was obvious when I got out of the plane that God took care of the rest. And the whole thing was a miracle, the fact that we were able to get it out of there where it was. Nobody else even was involved. We didn't make the news, anything like that. Eddie helped me get it out. Most of you know, most of you know that Eddie and I are in another vehicle that's in great distress. And my period of time and my power to influence this vehicle is very minute. But what I know, without a shadow of a doubt, no matter the damage or the cost, God loves me and God loves Eddie, and he's at the controls. I don't see Bertie and Dwylan here this morning, but if they were here, I'd like to say to them and to anyone here that's riding a distressed vehicle, we don't have a promise for the outcome. Nobody does. But I think it would be obvious to everyone after the dust settles that God loves us and cares for us. So, Eddie, I love you, and I don't know how where the outcome's going to be, but I know that it's under God's control.
Lord, I thank you for the way that you've spared Earl's life yesterday, for taking care of him, for being a God that is in control in the circumstances that are beyond our control sometimes. Lord, I pray that you'd grant him grace and just the assurance of your love, continued assurance of your love, and that you will be with them and through the difficult times that they're going through. Thanks again for being a God that is in control. No matter what life throws our way, you are in control. And again, I pray a blessing on Earl and Mim and their family. And again, thank you from the bottom of our hearts for the miracle that you gave them yesterday. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together for closing prayer. Lord, we're humbled when we see you at work. And when we see you performing miracles and working in people's lives. And I pray that you would continue that in each one of our lives in this coming week. Lord, as we leave this place, whether it's physically or spiritually, or emotionally, Lord, I pray that you would continue to work and that you would continue to protect us. And Lord, I pray just for each one of our lives, that we could work on the things that we need to work on. And Lord, I thank you for the message that Tim brought through and the confidence that we can have in you, knowing who you are as our God and who we are as your children and as your people. And Lord, we believe in what you can do in our lives, and we ask for you to continue that in this coming week. I pray for our noon meal. Thank you for the food. I pray that you would bless it and just bless our time together as well. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed.